Hopefully all of us last Shabbos had a little more trees in our minds for the past 2 weeks, a little more similar to the Shabbat. So I want to focus a little more on other aspects of Shabbat. So I have a piece here. I want to go through it together. And we'll build the idea from there. This is Or Gedaliah, written by Rabbi Gedaliah Shor, who was one of Rosh Yeshiva at Torah Vedas. I'm known to be one of the first true American born and bred in Olam to live. And he wrote a beautiful Sefer Or Gedaliah, which maybe you've seen before, but he writes on Parsha and Mo'adim. So this is a piece on Chodesh Shvat. He goes into a different aspect of Shvat that we haven't quite touched upon yet. At least what we said before, but it's a very different approach to it. We've said in previous months, every single month has its Shevet, we know. It has its letter. It has its action. And I passed out a while back that chart with everything on it. So he's going to discuss a little bit about the letter and the action of Shvat. It says in the Sefer Yetzirah, this is a deep Kabbalistic concept, which we're going to try to filter onto our own level. But the Kabbalistic concept is that in Chodesh Shvat Hashem, he says Himlich Os Tzadi V'Le'ita. He crowned the letter Tzadi with Le'ita. Le'ita is a term you don't see all that often in Tanakh, but Le'ita, we find it by Esav. Ha'iteni na min adom ha'adom hazeh. Right? He says to dump that red stuff down my throat. So Le'ita is a form of eating. We'll see, it's not the most respectful form of eating, as we'll see. You know, it's a little bit more of an Esav type eating, which we'll talk about more in his piece. But it says in the month of Shvat, this form of eating called Le'ita, the letter Tzadi became king, was crowned over the action of Le'ita, of eating. So that's the concept of the Chodesh Shvat, Sefer Yetzirah. So we're going to figure out what that means a little bit, at least on our level. So let's read this piece. It's a big piece. We'll do a good part of it, not the entire thing, but there's a lot of points here I want to see. Hayomu Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So he's writing today is Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat. When he wrote this, now we're into about Ches Shvat or so. Ve'erev Rosh Chodesh Shuzman Lesbona B'Tshuva. So every Erev Rosh Chodesh is time to think about Tshuva. Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh U'Shar B'Tiatzko. As we know, as we focus on weekly, every single month is its own gate. It brings you to its own place, has its own potential. Moshe Mavur Vator Hilchot Rosh Chodesh, like the Torah explains the laws of Rosh Chodesh. Shekamoha Shagimol Regalim Him Kenega Gimel Avos, just like the three Regalim correspond to the three Avos. We went through this a few weeks back, a few months back, that Pesach is Kenega Abraham, and Shavuos is Kenega Yitzchak, and Sukkot is Kenega Yaakov. Ken Yud Beis Chodashim, the 12 months correspond, Him Yud Beis Sha'arim, they are 12 gates, Sheniftechu Ayadei Yud Beis Shvatim, that are opened up through the 12 Shvatim. But because of our sins, these gates are closed up. We don't have these yomtifs and every Rosh Chodesh as we used to. The gates of the regalim are very, very large gates, and they don't get closed up by sin. The gates of Rosh Chodesh in our minds is a very minor yomtif, if anything. Rosh Chodesh should be a large yomtif, but the gates of Rosh Chodesh, they were closed up, because there are smaller gates. This Medichit, so the chait that we have done, that's closed up the Yantif Rosh Chodesh. We don't feel that same joy and inspiration of Rosh Chodesh as we should. L'chein l'nishri Yantif l'doros. So we don't have a Yantif for all generations of Rosh Chodesh. Aliyah said, Lavo, but in the future, Sh'az Nemar, it says, V'hayim b'di chodesh b'chadsho v'gomer. In the future it says that every Rosh Chodesh will be a Yantif, will treat like a Yantif. Just like every single one of the 12 Shvatim has its own unique aspects and characteristics, every single Shevet is its own pathway to serve Hashem, its own gate. It says in Yecheskel, Shar Ruvain Echad, that Ruvain had a Shar, Shimon had a Shar, every Shevet has their own Shar, if their own gate to the Beis Hamikdash. King Kol Chodesh Umayuchad against Shevet Echad, every single month corresponds to its own Shevet, Yeshlo Inyan Miyuchad has its own special Inyan, its own special concept. B'chol Chodesh Eschadesh Derech Chodesh Mevos Hashem Yisborach. And every single month is its own special way to serve Hashem. So this is just the intro, as we've discussed many times before. Yedua, Shekosh Baruch Hu Baros Olam Be'usas Torah. We know that Hashem created the world with the letters of the Torah. So the letters of the Aleph Beis, Lashon HaKodesh, we know are not just letters like another language, but they're the building blocks of creation. Hashem looked into the Torah, the Bara Alma created the world. That's a famous quote from the Zohar. And Kabbalistically, we understand that the Torah is a blueprint for the world. And on a deeper level, the letters themselves are the building blocks of the world itself. Like it says, Kedisa Yodea Hay Betzalel Tzarif Osios Shebehen Nivru Shmeimar. It's like it says that Betzalel, who built the Mishkan, he knew how to combine the letters that created the world to make the Mishkan. So Betzalel was privy to the secrets of creation, and that's why he was the one who was designated to build the Mishkan. Because he was supposed to bring in that same power of creation of the whole world, he infused it with the Mishkan itself. So every single month has its own gate, and therefore every month has its own letters, because every letter is a unique building block to approach Hashem. So Sefer Yetzirah, which is a work that we attribute to Avraham Avinu, it's the only Sefer we have from Avraham, it's an incredible thing. So it discusses that every single month was created, and which letter is Shayach each month. So they said about Chodesh Shvat, Himlich Os Tzadi Be'u'ita. In the month of Shvat, Hashem crowned the letter Tzadi over this action called Le'ita, this kind of eating. Okay, Lahavin Devrehem Shem Be'ura Mukim. To understand the words of the Sefer Yetzirah, which are very, very deep, that which relates to us in serving Hashem, so we're going to explain what Sefer Shem Yishmol says about this, and we're going to explain it even more. So that's his intro to what we're talking about. So we're going to talk about the idea of Shvat being the month of the letter Tzadi, crowned over Le'ita, crowned over a less than respectful form of eating, as he'll discuss. What's this idea of Le'ita? So Le'ita is found concerning Esav Rasha. Sh'amar Yaakov Avinu, because Esav told Yaakov, Haliteini na min ha'adom hazeh. He told Yaakov, give me to eat from this red stuff. In the famous story that he goes into Yaakov, Yaakov's making his soup. He says, pour that red stuff down my throat. You know, give it to me. Pein Avil Chazal, that's what Chazal tell us. Haliteinu l'Rasha v'yamus. There's a quote in the Gemara where it talks about a Rasha doing something wrong. So the Gemara says, you know, how he tail Russia, let the Russia eat it and die. Let him suffer from his own actions. But the word used there is halitehu. It sounds like the way a Russia eats is called le'ita. He doesn't do achila, he does le'ita. Ki be'emes le'ita pirushu achila, because really what le'ita is, it's a kind of eating. Ach achilak ben aloshon le'ita ve'aloshon achila, the difference between le'ita and achila, toy be'kmas achila, depends on your intent. In Lashon HaKodesh, every synonym has a different nuance to it. There's no two words that are exactly alike. There's svarim written to try to differentiate what's the difference between these synonymous words. The Malbim is very famous for doing that. Rav Hirsch does it. And earlier svarim do it as well. But the idea is that in Lashon HaKodesh, every word is precise. It has an exact meaning. And even though two words sound alike, they're very different words. So ita and achila, if we were to translate them simply, we'd say eating and eating. But there's a different intent in le'ita than there is in achila. And the difference lies in the following. L'shem mahu ochel, what is your purpose in eating? V'eich nireis achilo shel, how does your eating look? What's the experience of eating? Why are you eating? How does your eating appear? Ki ve'emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sider olamo she'adam tzarich l'chilso l'zunas nafsho. Because we know Hashem made the world, that we have to be able to eat to live. That we're human beings and we need food. So Hashem created a world that human beings need to eat to live. V'bilti zeh yafshir l'adam l'chios. If not for food, we couldn't live. We have to have food. Ach milvad ha-maychol ba'atzmo, but besides the food, yish inyan arevus ha-maychol. There is an enjoyment in the food. This is important for us to always focus on. You know, I think Rav Victor Miller used to say, Hashem, we say in benching, Hazanas olam kulo b'tuvo, v'chein v'chesed v'rachim. Hashem, He nourishes the entire world in His goodness, with chein, chesed, and rachim. So what's the chin, chesed, and rachamim? So we understand there's chesed, Hashem gives us food to eat. That's a chesed from Hashem. Hashem is rachamim because He has mercy upon us and make sure that we survive. But chin usually means some form of like something we call a graceful, something beautiful. That's chin. And the question is, what's the beauty of our eating? So I think as Rav Victor Miller used to explain, that I'll choose a mashal, but Hashem could have made it that all the food we eat is this brown, tasteless, lumpy mush. That could have been it. And Hashem would say, sorry, eat it or die. But this is what you got. And we'd say, okay, and we'd eat it because we had to. It would be it'd be like taking medicine, you know, it'd be a terrible task, but we'd eat it because we had to eat it to live. But Hashem made food in a way which is enjoyable. Not just enjoyable, but it looks pretty, it has texture, it has taste, it can be sweet, it can be juicy, it's savory, it's spicy, it's, you know, we have so much variety, and there's a chin in food. And that's a bechesed from Hashem, because Hashem gives us the opportunity not just to live, but to enjoy the food we eat, and that's important for us to appreciate. When we make a bracha, we bench, we're not just benching because we have the nourishment, we're also thanking Hashem for the enjoyable experience that we had, because eating is enjoyable. So he's differentiating here between eating as a necessity of life. We have to eat to live. Technically, we could all just go on IV, and we'd be just fine. All nutrients go into our bloodstream, and we'd have no problem. We lose out on the opportunity to enjoy our food, we have no motivation to do it, we have no desire, it would just be the fact of life. But Hashem put an arivus in Michael. Hashem put this pleasantness and this deliciousness, and this taste in food that we enjoy, and that's something which is separate from the nourishment the food gives us. So why does Hashem do it this way? So again, it's a kindness to us, we enjoy it, but it's actually a necessity to have it that way. If the food was not enjoyable, nobody would want to have any desire to eat. It'd be very difficult to eat. You know, if all you have around you are these tasteless foods, you know they're healthy for you, but you don't have the same drive to eat as you do when there is chocolate cake and whatever else is around that you enjoy to eat. So Hashem made it that we enjoy the eating experience because that gives us the motivation, that gives us the drive to want to eat because it's good for our bodies to eat. We have to eat. And Hashem wants us to have the desire. There are people out there who have disorders that they don't have an appetite, and it's very dangerous because then they just don't eat and they can get very sick that way. There are disorders like that. But for a person who's healthy, we have a drive to eat, and it's a very important drive to have. But Kamosha Heri Chos Havavos Pshar Bochina. Chos Havavos speaks about this at length. Kim lo haya adam mis'avel meichel lo haya adam ochel klal. If we didn't desire the food, we wouldn't eat at all. Lo haya rotze lechol klal. We wouldn't have any desire to eat. Ki lo haya b'haseichel mechayev she's asik b'achila. Ki yesh bo hefsin mamam hefsin zman. If you think about it, besides the fact that eating helps us to survive, eating costs a lot of money, takes up a lot of our time, so we only do it because we had to, but now we do it because we enjoy it. So the appetite tells us, okay, even though I'm busy now, but it's time to eat, and I sit down and I eat a lunch, I eat my breakfast, I eat my dinner. It's a very important thing in life. I kol olam. And also, without the desire, this is another very important point, a person would say, why should I eat? Eating is an animalistic activity. Animals eat. I'm a human being. I'm above that. That's what we would feel if the food around us didn't draw us in, if we didn't have a desire for food. So we would see that we would look around and say, this person is doing an animalistic act by eating because, it's just something of this world, just to take into your mouth and chew and swallow. What is that? So a person on a little higher level wouldn't want to eat because they don't want to be like an animal. But Hashem made it that we have a desire to eat, so all of us are involved in it, and we enjoy it, and we have a drive to eat, and it's important to have that drive. And Chazal even tell us, Chazal say that a human being is compared to an animal in three ways. And some of the examples are, one thing that we do like animals, we eat and drink like animals. Animals eat and drink, we eat and drink. So we have that in common with animals. Sayin Hashem. So Chovas Avavos explains that it was a chesed of Hashem that He gave us an appetite, that we desire to eat, we enjoy eating, we want to eat. And we have to appreciate this. And this is the concept of having this desire to eat, which then drives us to involve ourselves in matters of this world. But we need to. And the truth is, this concept can expand to other things as well. Because the Chazal in the Psukim, in many ways, refer to all concepts of this world, the physical world, with the idea of eating. Now, eating is like a model for all involvement in the physical world. And Hashem inserted into many activities in the physical world an element of taiva, of desire, of pleasure, so that we are driven to involve ourselves in this world. Without this, we wouldn't eat and we would die of famine, of hunger. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says that Hashem spoke and it was. This refers to a wife. Hashem commanded and it existed. This is children. So there's an implication here that the concept of having a family, a wife and kids, was a decree of Hashem. It was like a gezeira. It wasn't something that was natural in the world. Hashem decreed it. Why is that? Hashem wanted the human being to be involved in having a family. Without Hashem decreeing this, a person will not be motivated to take on the responsibility of a family. It's a big responsibility, takes up a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. So Hashem made it, though, that there is a pleasure in having a family, because that's a motivation for us. That makes us want to have a family and take on that tremendous burden and the tremendous responsibility which is with it. A person has a drive, a desire, to be involved in the world and to have the world settled. I mean, even animals have a drive to reproduce and to carry on their species. It's just an instinct. So we have it also on our own level. We have this instinct that we want to be able to have a family, to have a wife, to have kids, and to build. Pimur Chazal, Amashikosav, Gamas Olam, Nasim Belivam, Perish Lasuk, Minyan Olam. So it says in the Pasuk that Hashem placed the world in their hearts. What does that mean? Hashem placed the desire to be involved in the physical world in our hearts. Shalu lo yitzahara, she lo yitzahara, lo bana adam bayas, nasa isha. Out the yitzahara, the drive within, we want to build a household or marry a wife. Then everyone would stay alone because it's too much responsibility to take on. So we understand that Hashem designed the world that we have a desire to involve ourselves in things that are important, healthy for ourselves. Eating, drinking, having a family, these are things which we need to do, are important for us to do. But without that built-in desire and the pleasure that lies within it, we won't do it. Because we feel it's just too much to take on, it's a waste of time, waste of money, it's a responsibility. There's so many reasons why we wouldn't do it. But Hashem put the instinct in ourselves that we should enjoy it so that we are driven to build and to involve ourselves in these things. So that's the concept of, we have things which are necessities, and Hashem, in His kindness, gave us a pleasure in doing these things so that we're motivated to do them. That's step one. But then He says, Afal Pikein, Havod Hashmuto Odom Huf. So what's our task? Our task is the following. Shafshet Tzorech Lechol Kim Olam. We have to eat in order to survive, but Shia Chiloso Ba'ofen Kazeh, She'ochol Ra'ach Ra'ach Mimneshet Tzorech Lezeh. But our job, our avoda on this, is that when we eat, our goal should be, I'm eating to sustain myself. So Hashem made eating enjoyable so that we sustain ourselves. But the problem is, we can lose focus, and then we eat only for the enjoyment, not because we're trying to sustain ourselves. And that's where the balance comes in. And this is a very important balance to have. You know, the old line, do you eat to live or live to eat? You know, so obviously we're trying to say you eat to live. Once you live to eat, you're missing the point. Hashem didn't put in the pleasure of eating so that we can just eat and enjoy it. Hashem wants us to live, so He made eating pleasurable. But if we get consumed by our food, instead of consuming our food, this food consumes us, if that happens, then we're in trouble. We can't turn our hearts just to the enjoyment of the food. Just to eat because we have a teva for it. That's very unhealthy physically and spiritually. We know for our health, when we eat because we're hungry, that's good. If we're not hungry and we're still eating, that's bad. That's usually the most simple way of dieting, is don't eat when you're not hungry. And even that we struggle with because we enjoy it. You know, we enjoy the activity of eating, we enjoy the taste, we enjoy the comfort. So we eat anyways. So we have to be sure that we're eating in order to live, but we're not eating only because we enjoy the food. And like it says in Mishlei, Koshikosav Tzadik Ochel Losova Nafsho, it says in Mishlei that the Tzadik eats in order to satiate his soul. He eats to be filled. That's why he eats. Avshikar achilas tzaddik u'avur kim nefesh. The tzaddik's main purpose in eating is so that he can sustain his soul, stay alive, stay healthy. Those people who eat only because of their taiva, because they enjoy it, instead of eating the food consumes them. If that's the attitude, that is what we call, and this is his point, nikra achilasa mishim, that's called the ita. So now you differentiate between achila and ita. Achila is when I'm eating because I need to eat to survive. Not to survive, I need to eat to be healthy. You know, we're not talking about survival, we're talking about, you know, I'm eating in a healthy manner. I'm not eating because I'm consumed by my food, I'm eating because it's important to eat and be healthy. If you eat just because you're being drawn by your desires, by taiva, by the taste of the food and the enjoyment of this world, that's what we call le'ita. That's why le'ita is associated with Isav HaRasha, that's why le'ita is associated with Roshayim, Halitil Rasha of Yamos, because le'ita is eating with the wrong attitude. The attitude of le'ita is, I eat because I want to eat food. That's it. Not because I need to be healthy to serve Hashem, not because I need to survive, not because I need energy, not because I need to be healthy for my family, it's because I enjoy the food and therefore I'm going to eat it. That's le'ita. Sh'ochle machmas arevis hamaychol. You eat only because of the pleasure in the food. Ukoloshon atargum shaliteni, like the Targum Unkla says, when it says in the pasuk haliteni no minadom adomaze, Isav requests the red stuff. The Targum Unkla says haliteni means ati meni, give me to taste. It's all about the taste. That's when Isav wants to eat. It's all about the taste. Nothing to do with the health that comes from it, or the nourishment. Shrats v'tama davar. Mezeu anikra b'shem le'ita. This is what we call le'ita. Le'ita hu lashon yoser chazak. Mistam achila, so ita is a much stronger language to use than achila. V'nikra ken kisha ochel ba'ofin gashmi. Ita is when you're eating in a totally physical way with no higher intent. Ki b'chol achila sheish ikar v'tafel, every single time you eat, there's going to be a main intent and a secondary intent. Ki taivi rak tevla, because it's important for us to understand that the enjoyment should be secondary. The taiva is there for us as a tool. Hashem gave us a tool. Hashem, the chasto, said, I need you to be healthy and survive. Therefore, I'm going to let you eat and enjoy your eating. And we should enjoy our eating. But what's ikar, what's tafel? What's the main thing, what's secondary? We have to make sure we cling to the primary goal of eating, which is the nourishment that comes from it, and not the secondary goal, which is the pleasure. And if we grab on to what's secondary, that is called l'ita. So like just as a mashal, you know, somebody makes a decision, I want to have a healthier diet. You know, so very often we know that healthier diet might mean we don't have to eat the foods we like. We have to eat foods we don't like as much or less tasty, but it's a better lifestyle for me. So that person, if they want to live a healthy lifestyle, is able to forego on the things they really enjoy eating, you know, the cakes and the ice cream and everything else, and stick with things that may be less enjoyable for them, but they'll do it because they need it for their nourishment. The flip side is somebody who just says that I'm going to eat whatever I want because I enjoy it, and they couldn't care less about their health. There are people out there, you know, they'll eat their hot dogs and their cheeseburgers and drink their beer and just constantly eating and eating also. They have no regard at all for their health. And that's because that's the we'ita. They're eating because of their taiva, but they're not thinking at all about what the food's purpose is and what the food's doing in this world, which is to give us nourishment so we can survive. The eating itself is never supposed to be a goal. It's supposed to be a means to an end. And that's the difference. So we'ita is when you're eating as a goal, and your goal is, I like eating, and that's it. And achila is, I'm eating because Hashem gave me food to survive, and I'm using the food as a means to get to an end, which is being healthy and living in this world. And that's the idea of we'ita versus achila. So now the question is, what does it mean that Hashem crowned the letter Tzadi over Le'ita? Because we're going back to the Sefer Yetzirah, that Shvat is the month of where the Tzadi is crowned over Le'ita. So what does that mean? So Himlech Os Tzadi Le'ita, Pirish. Kevan She'ish Inyan Kazeh Shel Le'ita B'Olam. Now that we know there's a concept of Le'ita in the world, that people could have the Taiva to eat just for the Taiva, just for the desire and nothing more, everything does have its drive, it has its desire. So we could say, what do I do? You know, we're stuck. Hashem made us in a world with so many delicious foods, and I do enjoy them. So what am I supposed to do in order to moderate my eating and say that I'm going to eat for the right purposes and not get sucked in by the food? So he says, Hashem created the desire, le'ita. So how could a person just cling to the primary goal, which is the nourishment? Because the tafel, the secondary thing, the taiva, that's going to encourage us to be involved in the physical and ignore the purpose. So this is why Hashem put the letter Tzadi in the world with Le'ita. So Shva, we'll talk about why it is. Shva's the month where Le'ita enters the world. This concept of the enjoying our food associates with Shva. But at the same time, Hashem also introduced into the world the letter Tzadi. Why is that? Because the letter Tzadi indicates a Tzadik. So we know that Tzadik starts with Tzadi. Some people actually call the letter itself a tzaddik versus a tzaddi. There's two ways of calling the letter, actually. Some call it a tzaddik. And he's going to bring some sources that a tzaddi, the letter itself, in Chazal's thought, symbolizes a tzaddik. But the idea is that Hashem put into the world, the same time Hashem put into the world the drive to enjoy our food, Hashem also put into the world the power to overcome that. We're empowered through the letter Tzadi, to have self-control, to have willpower, to be able to focus ourselves, to say that I enjoy this food very much, but I'm going to eat in order to be healthy, not because the food sucks me in. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos goes through the whole Aleph Beis, and talks about the symbols of every single letter in the Aleph Beis. So we get to Tzadi, so we know we have the regular Tzadi, then we have the Tzadi Sofi, it's the end of the word, so the Tzadi Pashit, the stretch tzadi, so that tzadi is, that's talking about the simple tzadik. And the tzadi kafuf, the bent tzadi, that's talking about the humbled tzadik. But the Gemara tells us the letter tzadi represents a tzadik, that's what it tells us. So what's a tzadik? The tzadik pirush mitzamtzim maislav shialpi din v'shiyu b'tzedek. The word tzadik simply, it comes from the word tzedek. What tzedek means is that you're doing things that are correct, that are just. I mean, the tzaddik, where he's doing things that are based on the law. You know, there's always a contrast you have between a tzaddik and a chassid. Not the guy in the shtreimel, but, you know, the classic word chassid means somebody who goes beyond the letter of the law. That's chassid in terms of chazal. A tzaddik is somebody who keeps to the law. So a chassid is going like a step further. He's going beyond the letter of the law. The tzaddik is keeping to the law, you know, to the T. And the chassid is going beyond that. So a tzaddik is somebody who tries to do everything, but didn't. Do it correctly, 100%, measured, moderated, and that's a tzaddik. So if you're a tzaddik in eating, what does that mean? That means a tzaddik is going to eat with the right intent. Because tzaddik always does exactly what's right. That's what a tzaddik does. So when a tzaddik eats, he's doing it with the proper intent. Like I said in the pasuk in Mishlei, as we mentioned before, like Kamer Kasuv, tzaddik ochel sova nafsho. It says a tzaddik eats in order to satiate his soul. The first via, he wants to be full. He wants to have the nutrition. But he doesn't eat because of the taste of the food. He eats because he wants to be healthy. That's why a tzaddik eats. Tzaddik's able to have a willpower, have self-control, rein himself in, so that his eating is just in order to give him strength to move on and to sustain himself, but nothing more. It says about Rishayim, the same pasuk says, Beten Rishayim Techzar. So it's very interesting. The literal translation of the pasuk, the simple translation would be, that the tzaddik eats till he's satiated, and the stomach of the Rasha is empty. So that would be what the simple translation would be. Which sounds more like a punishment, that Hashem will provide for the tzaddik and take away from the rasha. But the Vilna Gaon says a very interesting pshat. It's you know, it's funny when you first hear it, but it's very, very true. He says, Farsha Gra, Sharashayim, Shekol Achilasam, Hi Ach Rach Bishvil Taivasam, Chasr Lehem Od Beten. So Beten Rashayim Techsar would mean that, you know, sometimes, let's say you go to like a delicious affair, and there's a lot of food. And you're really enjoying yourself. You eat, and you eat, and you're really full. And at that point, you can't eat anymore. So deep down, you wish, I wish I had more room in my stomach so I could have this one piece of cake, you know, one more piece of steak, one more piece of sushi, you know, that's your thinking. But, you know, that book, we're full, so we can't have it anymore. So that's what it's saying, Beten Rasha and Techsar means the Rasha is lacking an extra stomach. He wishes he had two stomachs, because then he can eat more food. Because he's eating, because really, the reaction should be, okay, I'm full. My body is really strong. I had my dinner tonight. Great. And then move on with life. That's how we should feel. But the wrong attitude is, I really enjoyed this food. I wish I could put more into my mouth. I have nowhere to put it. And I have nowhere to store the food anymore. I need an extra stomach on the side so I can eat more food. So the Vilna Gaon says, Retzen Rasha and Techsar means that Rasha is lacking an extra stomach. He wishes he could eat more, and he just can't. The Tzaddik eats till he's full and says, okay, I'm done. I ate. The point of eating is to have nutrition. I have my nutrition now. I can move on with my life and do things that are important. The Rasha says, I want to keep eating as long as I possibly can because I really enjoy my eating. That's the difference between the two. Ki rotzim malos od ve'od. The Rasha wants to fill himself up more and more and more. Mash'in ken at tzaddik, shekol achilaso ach v'rak l'man humo. But tzaddik eats in order to sustain himself. She'el lo koach bazeh l'avodas boros. He has strength to serve Hashem. Question of Rambam, Hilchos Deos. Like the Rambam writes, shim adam ochel ki l'avodas Hashem. If a person eats to serve Hashem, az gam achilaso hu ba'avoda l'Hashem. So when you eat to serve Hashem, your eating becomes itself a mitzvah, service of Hashem. When you eat for yourself, then you're serving yourself. If you're eating because eating gives me the strength to serve Hashem, so your entire meal becomes a mitzvah. You can flip it, it's the same exact, you know, bowl of Cheerios in the morning, but if you're eating it because you need strength to serve Hashem today, then it becomes a mitzvah. If you're eating it because you enjoy Cheerios and you're hungry, then it's your own thing. There's a big difference between the two. It's the same bowl of Cheerios, but the intent in your mind, what you really feel as you're eating it, makes all the difference. V'zeo b'china shel tzaddik. So this is the tzaddik. V'shtamish b'chol davar be'abriya b'tzaddik. He uses everything in the world properly. V'tzorech v'tachwa shebo. For its purpose. V'makoach shel v'ita shesh b'ol nivra b'osadi shu'akoach limshol al-taiva. So that's what it means over here, that when Hashem created l'ita in the world, Hashem created along with the letter tzaddik. Because Hashem has to give us the balance. Hashem never gives the challenge without the solution next to the challenge. So the challenge is L'ita. I'm going to give you delicious food in the world, and you'll be tempted to eat like Esav with L'ita. But with L'ita comes in the same envelope, on the other side of it comes the tzaddik. And that means that you have the ability to be a tzaddik, and you can enjoy your food, but not be sucked into it. And don't get me wrong, a tzaddik is allowed to enjoy his food. He enjoys his meal very much. But he knows the purpose of it. You know, a gadol could sit down and certainly enjoy a meal. There's nothing wrong with that. That's appropriate. You should enjoy the meal. We make a bracha on the food because we're appreciating the food and we're enjoying the food. But he's able to say that I only need to eat this much. I'm eating because Hashem granted me the food to serve Him. I ate enough now and I'm going to stop. He has that self-control. That's the concept of tzaddik. But it's nothing to do with not enjoying the food. You should enjoy the food. Hashem wants to enjoy the food. But it's enjoying the food and recognizing that I'm enjoying it because Hashem wants me to eat it so I can have strength. And once I have strength to serve Hashem, okay, my meal is done and I did what's right. I'm eating for the purpose only of serving Hashem and maintaining myself, but not because I get sucked into that concept of achila, of food. So he says, Himlech osadi bil'ita v'tzarfan zebazeh. Shesiref besuch l'ita osadi. Hashem says Hashem crowned the tzadi over l'ita and He mixed them together. That's the quote from Sefer Yetzirah. The Hashem was able to mix together, to combine the letter tzadi with l'ita, shiyuchal adam mishtamash b'l'bitzek, so that the human being has the ability. Hashem inserted into us the ability to have this self-control. V'lashon himlech hushia mosho al'ita. We can be the rulers over l'ita. We can rule over ourselves, rule over our desires. V'lo shi l'ita taiva timshol, and not that the l'ita will rule over us. The kasher lo keser, it says then in Sefer Yetzirah, Hashem put a crown upon it. Below oel shechol masos bezeh halita keser v'atara lavoris baruch. You can make your eating into a crown on Hashem's head. Shemishtam shem b'achila ach rak l'man avodaso. Because if you just eat to serve Hashem, harigam achili mitzvah, the eating becomes a mitzvah in and of itself. So that's the Sefer Yetzirah. So we have this concept of l'ita, the pleasure in eating, and then alongside that comes the ability to moderate ourselves, have self-control and willpower, so that we use the eating for its purpose, which is to be healthy and strong, and we don't get sucked into the food. So that's his concept about Shvat. Now the question is, like, why is Shvat? Now, this is what Sefer Yetzirah writes, but why is Shvat the month when this occurs? Like, why is this concept in Shvat? So I think it very much fits in with what we discussed the past 2 weeks. Shvat's the month of trees. And we discussed last week before, how trees for us are a model of the pleasures of this world. We make the bracha on the blossoming fruit tree, lahanos behem bnei adam, that Hashem gave us fruit trees to have pleasure, or so we can have hana. So it's a month we're contemplating Hashem's delicious creations. you know, the fruit tree being the model of, you know, delicious, sweet food in this world. So when we contemplate the fruit trees, so that to us is Hashem's gift of tasty and delicious foods. Now with that, so we have to have the ability to moderate and to have self-control that we don't get consumed by the fruit, rather we consume the fruit ourselves. It doesn't consume us. So we can't sink ourselves into the decadence, the life of physicality which these things represent. But we have to be that tzaddik, and we have to find the true purpose in all these pleasures. And again, the idea is the moderation. It's not about not enjoying it. Hashem wants us to enjoy His world. Hashem made it enjoyable for a reason. But it's about just having the ability to put a cap on it and say, you know, I'm doing it for this purpose. My purpose is fulfilled. I'm not going to become controlled by my physical urges. Rather, I'm going to control my physical urges. That's our goal. That's what it's about. We'll talk about Mitzvah Hashem in Adar, a concept of letting the pleasure of the food elevate us. That's an Adar concept we'll get to in another month. But the Shvat concept is the moderation. It's be able to just put the brakes on and say, okay, I'm enjoying it until this point, but ad kan. Now I'm so vanafsho. Tzaddik eats until he's satiated, and then he's done. He has more important things to do at this time. Eating is a means to an end. It's not an end of itself. The next question will be that the month of Shvat, the Shevet of Shvat is Shevet Asher. So we've discussed the previous months, the Shevet of that month. Asher is the Shevet of Shvat. So just in short, then what is it about Asher that corresponds with Shvat? Based on this concept, you want to find some connection between Asher and the idea of sweet foods of Shvat. What's that concept? So then we know Asher is famous for their productive land, their trees. Asher was the inheritance of Asher in Eretz Yisrael was purely his fruit trees. The Midrash and Ramashma, they imply that Asher didn't even have much produce beyond fruits. They didn't really grow grains, they didn't really grow vegetables. They were an inheritance totally of fruit trees. They're the ones known for their oil. That's why they would dip their feet in oil, I think is the way that's described. I forgot the exact words of the pasuk. They would dip their feet in oil. Asher is known for their oil, for their olive trees. They're the ones who provided the oil to the Beis HaMikdash. They're the ones who are able to provide the oil for the karbanos. And they were all Klai Yisrael come to them for their oil. But they were known for their fruit trees. The olive trees are fruit trees. They're known for their fruit trees. The Medrash says that Asher would give oil to all the Shvatim. And other Shvatim would bring them vegetables and other produce. They didn't have that. They didn't make those trades. And even the Shemitah wasn't all that relevant in Asher, because when you have fruit trees, you don't have to work them. Like we said last week, fruit trees, once you plant them, they're there. You don't have to plow, you don't have to water. They just kind of sit there and grow fruits. So when it came to Shemitah time, Asher didn't really get affected by it, because the fruit trees kept on growing anyways, and they didn't have to do any farming in order to make them grow. So Asher was a land all about trees. So that certainly connects to Shvat, that we know. But the Gan Eden we mentioned last week, also Gan Eden was a garden of trees. Bita Hashem Gan Beit HaMikdash. Vayita means Hashem planted trees there. Gan Eden is about trees. The original food for the human being was trees. Little work to do. Very sweet, very delicious. That was trees. And the challenge of Adam and Chava was trees. You know, the Eitz Hadas, that was a tree. That was their challenge. And what happened? So if you read the Pasuk, Nachash came to Chava and convinced her to eat from the tree. What was Chava's reaction? So Chava saw the tree, and it said that it was Taivahi Leinayim. There was a desire. When you look at it, you desired it. It was Nechmad. She was drawn in by her desires of the fruit. That's what it says in the Pasuk. So we're talking about the purpose of eating is not that you should, it's not the desire which is there. The purpose of eating should be for the health of the food. That's good for you. It's good to serve Hashem. So Chava should say, well, it looks delicious, but this is not going to help me serve Hashem. Hashem's not to eat this. And therefore, I need to move over to the next tree. But yet she let her, the Arevas HaMaichel, as we said, the sweetness, the excitement, the deliciousness of the food overtake her. She stared and it looked so good, and her mouth was watering, and it was colorful, and it looked sweet, and so she was sucked in and she ate it. So that was a model of not controlling your appetite because the food looks so good. The simple, again, obviously the Eitz HaDaas is a very deep discussion, but on the surface level, the Eitz HaDaas was Chava giving to a taiva. She saw delicious food. It'd be like, you know, we walk by a non-kosher restaurant and we see this, like, the succulent steak sitting there and you smell it and it looks juicy and it's perfectly grilled. You say, okay, you take a bite. And that's how it describes Chava. She saw the tree, and it looked delicious, and it smelled delicious. She didn't smell it, but it looked delicious, and it felt delicious. Everything felt good about it, looked good about it. So she ate it. That's what happened. So the challenging on Eden was the trees. And she had a challenge of the tree, and she gave in to a taiva with eating. That was gonna eat it. And she was totally sucked in by the beauty and the sweetness of this fruit. It says about Usher that Hu Yitin Ma'adane Melech, he would give the delicacies of the king. So many of us discuss what delicacies Usher gave. But I saw a sefer point out the word Ma'adane Melech, Ma'adane has Eden inside, like Gan Eden. Because Usher, in some way, was supposed to represent the challenge of Gan Eden. The challenge was, there's delicious foods here. You can enjoy Hashem's world. Gan Eden was a place of total pleasure, and enjoying all the fruits. Just don't get sucked into it. So Usher's land was like that. They had a very beautiful land. They were very blessed. They're very wealthy. They had a lot of abundance. They had delicious fruits. And their challenge was not to get sucked in to the food. They'll eat the food with the appropriate attitude, but don't get sucked into it. So all the delicacies of their land, they had to be sure that they remained tzaddikim and they didn't fall into the trap of le'ita. That was really the goal of Usher. They had to eat l'sova nafsho, but not get sucked into all their delicious food that they had there. But they had a really great abundance. They were considered very, very wealthy. That was the shame of Usher. So one of the big challenges you have in this whole arena, I mean, I think this is something which, you know, we struggle with a lot in modern days. I'll get to more of that in a second. But one of the big challenges of Usher, it says, Vishman Yishrim Vayivat, it says that once Klai Yisrael became so fat, they got sucked into all their abundance, they rebelled against Hashem. Because somebody who is needy, they look towards Hashem, I need help. When you have everything around you that you need, so you don't have that place in life to say, I can't handle it myself, I need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, we always need Hashem. No question about it. But when somebody really feels a lack, they call out to Hashem. When they feel that they have everything they need, they have this abundance, they have all this delicious food around, they're enjoying their life, and they don't feel lacking at all. So when there's too much abundance, you have this challenge of Yishma Yishru V'Yivat, that Klai Yisrael can become too fat, and at that point they reject Hashem, and they rebel against Hashem. So you have to learn moderation. So it says about Usher. It says, Barzo Nechoshes Min Alecha, This is the bracha given from Moshe Rabbeinu to Shevet Usher. So Barzel Choshen Melech literally is that your locks are iron and copper. So it's a very funny pasuk. What does it mean the locks of Usher are iron and copper? So many Mefarshim discuss the idea of their land being secure, and they're on the border, they're able to keep the ladder to Israel. But on a deeper level, the idea of Barzel Choshen Melech, it means they keep a tight lock on their intake, their intake of food. One of the brachas Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, you're going to have a lot of abundance, but you have to be sure that you keep a lock on your mouth, and don't eat too much, and don't take in too much of the abundance. That's what it means. Exercise willpower. We all have to have these little locks in our mouths to compose when the food's coming in. We need that sometimes. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha, you're going to have an abundance of food, but there's going to be mental, you're going to learn how to moderate yourself as well. You're going to be able to close yourself off and not take in too much. So I think we have a particular challenge with this nowadays. I mean, we live in Baruch Hashem in a place of abundance. The modern world that we're in, especially in America, we're in a world of abundance. We have so much food around. The delicacies are there. The variety, the availability, the taste, the texture, we have it all. There's nothing we don't have. And Baruch Hashem, we don't know what real hunger is like. Our ancestors had to deal with hunger for centuries, and we don't know that. We live in a society of abundance. Being hungry and being needy, that's one part of Avodas Hashem, but also Avodas Hashem through abundance. And we have the abundance, we run the risk of Yishma Yishru V'Yivat, that we don't want to reject Hashem and forget about Hashem because we have so much. That's a big challenge to learn how to, number one, recognize that the abundance all comes from Hashem. That's one step. We have so much, it's all Hashem's bracha to us. Not to think that it's because we're so smart and we're so powerful and we have so many talents. That's not why it's there. Hashem put us into a society and into a time in history where we have this abundance. That's number one. But also to learn how to moderate ourselves and to know the purpose of all the food which is there. But all the foods around, when somebody is starving, and they're able to exist on, you know, a piece of bread once every 2 days, they don't have the issue of lechita. That's not there. You know, they don't have to be a tzaddik and moderate. You eat the bread to survive, and all, that's all they're doing is surviving. We live in a place where you have the abundance, so then, you know, most of our eating ends up that it's going kind of beyond that which we need to survive. You know, we have our first course, and our second course, and our third course, and our fourth course, and, you know, at a certain point, you know, we've gone way past what we need to survive, and then we're just eating for the enjoyment of it. So it's up to us to understand, both for our physical health and spiritual health, that we have to be able to put on those brakes, the barzal kosheis min alecha, to have that lock of iron and copper, and say that I'm learning how to moderate, I have willpower, and we eat like a tzaddik. I'm going to eat to live, not live to eat, as they say. I'm going to be sure that I eat the food doesn't consume me. And a tzaddik certainly will enjoy his food. He enjoys it very, very much. He makes a bracha, a lot of kavana on the food, and he enjoys every single bite, but he knows when to stop. And he knows that how much is needed. I mean, the greatest gadolim, you know, they're very, very calculated in everything they do, including their eating. There's stories of gadolim who knew exactly how much they need to eat every single day. And, yeah, they would enjoy their food, they'd have a nice bowl of soup, and have a piece of fruit, and they have whatever they'd have, but they knew, this is all I need. And I'm not going anything past that, because I eat l'sov v'nafsho. So they wouldn't just sit down for a meal and just grab the thing that's starting. They would have exactly in their mind how much is needed. Again, this is a very high level. But the picture is that they enjoy their meals very much. They knew, this is for Hashem, and I'm not going to go past what's for Hashem. Once it gets to things that are totally because I enjoy my food, that's already using food for the wrong purposes, it ends up, we know, physically unhealthy and spiritually unhealthy, in both ways. The one last point about this chart over here in Shvat, the mazel of Shvat, in terms of the astrological sign, is a dili. It's a bucket, I guess Aquarius in English, whatever this Greek, whatever that language is, but it's a bucket. And there's one thought about a bucket. You know, a bucket takes something which is deep down in the ground, and it lifts it up, you know, so we can use it properly. And I would just say, as a model or as a metaphor, the idea of eating as well. Eating can be something which is very, very low in the ground, very lowly thing. Animals eat. Every single living being in this world has to eat something. Plants also have to eat. Everything has to eat something. And eating can be a very animalistic activity. But the concept of a bucket is you take it out of the ground and you pull it up. And you lift it up. You elevate it. You make it higher. And so too, when it comes to eating, we can eat in a very animalistic way, almost the behema, which animals do, and keep it down on the ground, or we can lift it up and make it for a higher purpose. And that's, again, it's a struggle we always have constantly. You know, sometimes it's a little easier, because if you sit down for, say, Yantav Suda or Shabbos Suda, the atmosphere hopefully allows it to be a more uplifting experience. We enjoy our food, we do overeat sometimes as well, and those, you know, Shabbos Yantav, but it could be even the overeating on Shabbos becomes a mitzvah too. On Shabbos, you know, could be there where we're much easier territory. But overall, every single time we sit down, if we could think in our heads that, you know, I'm eating to serve Hashem and to have strength going through my day, even if it's not so sincere in the beginning, the more we have those thoughts in our minds, the more sincere they become. So you might sit down tomorrow morning for breakfast and think that, and you think that's kind of weird, I don't really feel that deep down. We think that enough times, eventually, you know, maybe you really do feel it. And eventually you'll think to yourself, well, that next piece of cake is not really for Hashem anymore, it's really for me, so maybe I should stop, you know? I think that also. So that's the challenge. But I think in our generation, we have this challenge, I think, in particular, more so than many other generations in history. But Shvat's the time to think about. Shvat's a month that has the power of tzaddik l'ita. We all appreciate l'ita. We all appreciate the enjoyment of food. And it's up to us to develop our own tzaddikim inside ourselves to have that moderation and control over ourselves.